Welcome, welcome, welcome. If this is your first time, let me introduce myself. My name is Dr. Samaria Colbert. I am the founder of Kingdom Creative Counseling, where I'm located now. We're in Greensboro. A little bit about me. I have been in the mental health field for over 16 years, more like 18 at this point. I'm a licensed therapist. I'm a published author. I am grateful to announce that I have completed my 69th book and have already started my 70 book number 70, 70th book. Got tongue tied, y'all. which I'm so excited about. These videos are pre-recorded. This video will be about maybe 3 weeks in advance, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. My previous book, the one that I just released, was called The Absalom Spirit. And I'm so excited about that. That is a banger. You're going to love it. If it is done by the time I release this video, I'll put the link below. If not, just follow me on social medias you'll enjoy it. I have been in the field for a long time. And what makes separates me is I give you faith-based principles to bring about lasting change. And of course, if you're dealing with Absalom, my brothers and my sisters, who is gonna mess with your mental health? So I like to add in spiritual issues and spiritual warfare that happens within our individual selves, within our lives, within our families, and of course, within our organizations that we run, that we lead, or that we minister to. Okay. Whew. So that was a mouthful. Welcome, you guys. I want to thank my new subscribers. I had the little channel that could, if you're watching this via YouTube, this is going to be on all platforms, Facebook. Some people don't watch it on YouTube. They watch it on my podcast. And so thank you for participating. Today, we're going to talk about signs you are dealing with a pathological liar, which is consistent, believe it or not, with an Absalom spirit. It may not necessarily be completely Absalom, but it is going to be something that you will contend with. As of right now, there was a beautiful young lady that told her testimony 50 parts. I did not listen to all 50 or any of them, really, because I just cannot dedicate that amount of time to someone else's life, because I'm already a therapist. But Miss Risa Tisa, obviously I don't know her personally, but she told her testimony and she began to break down what a pathological liar is. Now, I cannot go into detail. I only heard some of the things that she shared, and but I wanted to take on this topic also from a spiritual perspective. People deal with people who lie, and there's a difference between a liar and a pathological liar. I've also done some teachings on the Christian narcissist, someone who claims to be a Christian. I've done some work with in areas of spiritual warfare. I wrote a book called Haman's Plot and Why People Lie. And so all those things, you can just go through my timeline and read whichever is your fancy. But today we're going to talk about signs someone is a pathological liar. And again, this is going to be from a spiritual perspective. So I'm going to give you scriptures to back out what I'm saying. Point number one, a pathological liar. And Holy Spirit, we certainly thank you for today. Give us ears to hear what you would have us to say in Jesus' name. Point number one, a pathological liar is a demonic agenda. It is a demonic agenda sent from Satan. All right. Now she named her liar Legion, and I don't know if she knew the context by what she was saying, obviously, because I don't know her personally, but Legion is a demon who has many, a person who is oppressed or possessed by many demons. And so you look at the scripture when the person who had demons, legions, in them, Jesus said, "Who are you?" And they said, "We are legion," which means we are many. And so you can have up to a thousands of demons. So habitual lying doesn't necessarily mean you have thousands of demons. But I'm just telling you, when someone is a habitual liar, it comes straight from Satan himself, who scripture says is the father of lies. And so you want to reference John 8, verse 44 in the King James Version. It describes who Satan is, and it reads, "You are the father of the devil." Excuse me, let me read it. So, you are of the father. Yeah, I'm gonna talk today. I will talk right. You are of your father, the devil. Watch this, and the lust of your father ye will do. So, if so again, you either have God, or you're submitted to Him as your father, or you will be submitted to a demonic agenda called Satan, the devil. and as full of lust. So you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a M-er, and I'm changing that for the sake of social media. He ended people's lives from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Are you hearing me? And so the scripture eloquently describes Satan as the father of lies and there being no truth in him. Now that was from the King James Version, but as I'm talking, I want to read this from the New Living Translation. And just give me 1 minute here. We're going to go to John. Let's see, John. And I know I didn't have this pulled up, but I just got to follow the leading of the Lord here. And it says, the New Living Translation reads, "For you are the children of your father, the devil. For you love to do evil things he does." You love to do the evil things he does. He was a M in the people's lives from the beginning. He also hated the truth because there was no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So you have to discern someone's character, not what they say. Some years ago, I was observing a phenomenon, particularly within the body of Christ. And sometimes when I don't understand something, I really do just ask God. I try not to judge it or prejudge it. I just ask God. And most of the time when I ask God, he may not answer me right away, but he will tell me what is it that I am seeing. And I was observing a friend of mine who's no longer a friend of mine. And this person was very outgoing and could prophesy. And I saw how people were being deceived by their talking. But I knew the person. I knew that out of all their talk, if you really kind of dissected what they were saying, there was nothing behind their talk. They were all talk, no game. And so I asked God, I said, "God, why do people get deceived by people who talk good but can't produce anything?" And he said, "Samaria, because they're not a fruit inspector. They listen to what people say, but they don't vet them or investigate further. And they don't investigate my goodness further. They don't seek my Holy Spirit for final approval." I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. So when we're talking about unraveling and how did I get deceived by people and why do people do me wrong? And sometimes it does happen that does happen. And I'm not knocking anyone. What I loved about Risa Tisa was that she did take accountability. She said, "God did everything that he could do to warn me, but I didn't want to hear because I just wanted my time," which is what she said on a recent interview. And I love her because we all have had time we just wanted to do what we want to do. Can we be honest here? I just wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to hear from God concerning the matter. But I don't necessarily take issue, but I see some concerns here. If you can say, "Such and such deceived me, and this happened to me," and the Bible says a curse without cause shall not come. You cannot say, "I know God and I'm a Bible scholar and all these things that happen and someone deceived me." It does happen at times, but the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And there are times when God will just allow us to go through things. Your faith, excuse me, is going to be, your faith is going to be tested at some point. But so there are sometimes, I mean sometimes, not all the time, where it wasn't that we were deceived by people. What it really was is we just wanted our own way. Okay? And there's a difference. There's a difference. And so you'll never heal from what you won't take accountability for. All right? Another point. So a pathological liar serves their father, Satan. You can serve many things and many false gods, and Satan being one of them, right? Put number two, one thing you know of pathological liars, they are always talkers, and they talk to impress you. But you know, in the back of your mind, something isn't right. They talk a good game, but your ears of your antlers that are your discernment start saying, something is not right. I talked to you about the seven levels of deception that tend to happen and why people get deceived when we don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. They end up operating in a place called flattery. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. They move too soon. They do false prophetics. God sent me to you, and we're going to build a great kingdom together. And they begin to prophesy over you and declare themselves to be your people or your persons, things of that nature. And so I'm not going to go over there in detail because, again, I did do a YouTube teaching on the seven levels of deception and how people get caught up in that. But they start talking a good game. You know, again, I'll tell you some more of my personal life as a single woman at one at some time in my life. I've had guys who wanted to date me, and they know that I'm serious about my relationship with Christ. And so now you date me, you don't have a church home, and you don't read your Bible. All of a sudden, you get in front of my face, you the next Jesus superstar. You understand what I'm saying? But that's not what's really in your heart. You're talking good to impress, and that's something that happens. But your discernment starts saying, "Wait a minute!" And the more they talk, they think you're gonna get deceived by it. That's why you can't get enamored by talkers. You got to investigate. But they talk a good game, and they talk your language. And oftentimes, sometimes they have observed you from a distance, and we call this mirroring with the intention of deception. So if I can pretend like I'm your equal, and I've observed you long enough, whether it be on social media or in real life, and then they shapeshift to be the thing that you are looking for. And that's another point number three. We're talking about shapeshifters. When they get into the church realm, they can be churchy. When they get into the world realm, they'll be worldly. And this double-mindedness, you know, when you get excuse me, y'all. When you get in someone's face that's sanctified, you sanctified. And the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at the 14th verse, goes back to your father Satan. And it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself, watch this, transforms into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as minister righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." This is describing Satan being a shapeshifter. Satan has his own ministers. They're not going to say, "I serve Satan." I'm like, no pathological liar is going to admit that they were lying, because that is not the point. The Bible said they don't tell the truth. And so they are shapeshifters. They transform themselves, and they are great pretenders to pretend to be ministers of righteousness and reconciliation. They pretend, great actors and actresses, they pretend to love God. And this is why, again, you got to use some discernment. The Bible tells us that we are to test every spirit. Don't just believe people because they can buck and shout and hoop and holler and squalor. Amen. Amen. Point number four, someone with a vagabond spirit is they are always moving. And again, I tell you another story, y'all. I guess I'm just telling you my life story today. A vagabond spirit. I had a gentleman some years ago who was trying to date me. And the Holy Spirit, again, I don't think I was ever going to, I wasn't truly interested in the brother, but he was trying, right? And so so I said, "No, I'm not interested in him." But the Lord, but I thought we'd be friends because he was still, I thought, a godly Christian man and someone that I could just be friends with, but I wasn't interested in dating him. And the Lord said, "No, Samaria, don't date him and don't be friends with him because he has a vagabond spirit." And I said, "Well, what is a vagabond spirit, Lord?" And a vagabond spirit is a person who goes from place to place, finding no rest. I may do the va I'm not sure if I'll do it. I may do it next. I may do it at a different time. But a vagabond spirit, and so they go from place to place to place, looking for positions in your life, looking for positions within your organization. If you're a leader, they go from place to place. So you know that if a person goes from, if you have changed jobs, and I said this, I don't know if it was the last time, but six different times in 6 years, you have a vagabond spirit. If you've been a member of multiple different churches looking to be put on leadership, And when they don't put you on, or when you do something out of whack and they put you down, either way you find another church, you're a vagabond spirit. You've had multiple different relationships back to back to back to back to back. You have a vagabond spirit. And so people have vagabond spirit, maybe gifted, talented, and for something, but they have no deep water. There's no depth to them, because they are only users. And so they're only using you long enough. And once they finish using you, they'll go on to the next. I had someone some years ago who did me really, really wrong. And the Lord says to Mary, don't be offended by this person because they burn bridges everywhere that they go. So they find vulnerable people to use. Once they use them, once those nice, kind people, they live off the kindness of other people, basically. And then once that person gains wind that they're being used, they drop these people like yesterday's old habit, and then they move on to the next. Right? Vagabond spirit. Right? One thing to next thing to next thing. Other thing about pathological lies is they lack accountability. Now, you can almost discern when you hear someone's conversation. We've all gone through things in life. That is true. We've all made mistakes, and we all have made poor choices. I think there's a difference between a mistake and a poor choice. This is a part of life. The Bible talks about he who, if you say you have no sin, you're not, again, you're not telling the truth. Right? Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The problem now becomes when you don't take accountability for the sin, or your actions have offended people and you don't take accountability. Vagabonds, and as well as Absalons, and people who are pathological liars don't take accountability. And even if they do apologize, it's kind of like this passing, well, if I have offended you, no, I know if. There is a form of an apology where they only apologize long enough to get back into your good graces. So they lack accountability. They lack accountability partner, accountability people. So you can have a lot of people in your life, but who'll sit you down and say, hey, you know, you're wrong about that? You didn't do that right. Now you can tell, now if we're friends, now I don't know you people on the internet. Okay, I don't know you on these internet streets, so you're not my accountability people. But if we're friends, you ought to be able to put, if we're friends, and I'm not talking about friends in your head, I'm talking about friends in real life. And you say I'm your friend, you ought to be able to pull me to the side and say, Mary, listen, I love you, but this ain't right. Or you ought to be able to set some boundaries because you cannot really have accountability without boundaries. This is how I want to be treated. This is how I'm going to treat you. And when you don't set, so when someone does not take accountability, or they lack accountability or accountability people, that's a red flag. Also, when they make mistakes, when they don't come back and own those mistakes, don't come preaching to me about forgiveness and the grace of God, because the grace of God does not give you the license to mishandle or mistreat people. It's called an apology. Now, if you can't come back and apologize, it's rooted also in the spirit of pride. And I talked about in my book about Absalom and a few other books too, because this is a recurring issue, how pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. When you have offended or allowed people to be offended, you don't make it right, and you don't at least acknowledge where you were, and don't say, I have offended anybody. My heart was in the right. No, you have offended people. Okay? The Bible says, leave your gift at the altar and go make it right with your brother. Don't be good, because see, God won't hear your prayers. You can't move forward in act of disobedience. You just can't. I don't understand logic. Listen, church folk, I love us. I love us. But let me tell you something. Shouting is not a form of an apology. Apologies when you open your mouth to the person or people that you offended, and you say, I apologize. But shouting and thinking, we're not cool. I can shout with you and still hold you accountable. Don't mean I have to forgive you either. You don't need, you know. So just because we hold hands and you gave me, no, apologize. But a pathological liar is not really going to, and sometimes they give you like a half truth. Well, I was really busy. No, you weren't. Okay, so you deal with, so look at who will be who holds people accountable. Who true? Because sometimes you can have a lot of yes people in your life too. Sometimes people don't want to tell you the truth because they are afraid of your rejection. But if I tell you the truth, as long as it's in love, I always say you can tell me the truth. I know you. Because people get up, social media is a very opinionated place, honey. But people can sit there and as long as you're respectful about it. Don't be like you. How was that? You can confront. Listen, this is what the Lord told me. You can confront somebody in love. Keep your words to you. Don't go every little piece thing you've done wrong since the time you were three and all that. Don't be long-winded, but you can hold someone accountable in love. This is not okay. This is not okay. That over there was not okay. And how that person responds will dictate to you whether or not this is a relationship that you can continue. They said, "Well, I just seriously give you a." I put on social media is that recently that disobedience is not. There's no excuse for disobedience. I don't know. I was going through some things, and I was tired, and I was afraid. You run out of excuses. Grace does not give you the right to mishandle people, but there's no excuses over here because I respond over here because I'm going through things over here. Does not give me the right to dishonor people over here. Let me give you an example. For me, as a Christian, as a therapist, there are some times, even while being a therapist, I've gone through tremendous things because life does not stop. And hurt does not come. People don't stop being people because you got a business or therapy. You're a therapist. It just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. We still go through things. We should have tools. And sometimes we have to have our own therapy. Just like every pastor needs a pastor, every therapist needs a therapist. And I think everybody in life just needs a therapist in general. But that's just, it's just, I see people all the time. I'm like, wow, you really just need to go to therapy. You're just doing the most. Anyway, but I cannot say. I had times where I was going through so much, but I still had to show up. I couldn't dishonor my clients. I couldn't, but and their perception will say, well, I gone through the same thing here. You see what I'm saying? It just doesn't work that way. So no more excuses for dishonorable behavior. Okay, and the reason why I said it is because pathological lies, if you count, if by chance they lie, not they, if by chance they get caught. And they were caught red-handed, they will lie themselves out of that. But if they ever get back into a corner, they're gonna give you a whole bunch of excuses. Well, somebody had died and I was going through some things and you don't even know. No more excuses. Okay. They appear to be homeless. Oh, it was just a misunderstanding. No, it was if you have a long history of doing this, it's not a misunderstanding, it's a choice. Okay. If you have a pattern of doing this, it's not a misunderstanding. It is a choice. And let's be honest here. Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't accidentally thousands of dollars. I'm just your example. Thousands of dollars are missing from your checking account. Oh my goodness. I thought you said I could have it. Really? So we deal with pathological. They trying to minimize what should be maximized. It was all a misunderstanding. I would never do something like that to you, to hurt you. You see what I'm saying? So Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who are disguised as harmless sheep, y'all, but are really." Vicious wolves, so they know how to play the game. Yes, sir. No, sir. You're right. Oh, alligator tears. Oh my God. I don't understand. I got somebody. Well, again, this is a long time. Did Rose ratchetest thing, and we got them on record and the receipts, my brothers, and receipts. Okay. And what we call receipts, okay? That means the receipts don't lie. Oh, somebody did this. No, these receipts don't lie. But they appear to be, oh, it's just a misunderstanding. I don't know what happened. Ciao. Anyway. They are talk a good game. Watch, there is no clear evidence of who they claim to be, of them being who they claim to be. There's no clear evidence, or the evidence is false. They're fault finding as well. People who are pathological liars tend to be victim. And I'm adding this in because I didn't add it to my notes. They tend to be victim, the victim in every situation. You're observing that conversation. And this person did me wrong, that person did me wrong, this person, and again, go back to like accountability, but they're the victim in every circumstance. You know, I was meeting with a lady some years ago, a beautiful young lady, and she was always talking about something. Every time we met, she got in a fight with somebody else. And then she's all black people and church folk and all these people folk. And at first I was with it. I was like, well, I was trying to give counsel based upon the information that was presented to me. And then one day it dawned on me, wait a minute, these people don't know each other. You are having the same experience with different people who don't know each other, but you are the common denominator in all of these scenarios. Wait a minute now, wait a minute. Whoa. You know, when you're a therapist, you got to be gentle about this. You know, you but so what am I saying is that they have a victim mentality, learn helpless. I didn't know what I could do. I didn't understand. I didn't. So there's no, but nothing, there's no clear evidence of who they claim to be. Now, the case of Reese Tisa, there was no clear evidence. Or this is what they do, they make up fake evidence. And that happened again, going back to the Bible days. You look at Nehemiah, he had about three, I think, had three or four leaders who were coming against them. And at one point in the time, they had falsified a document from the king stating Nehemiah needed to come down and deal with this king's business. And Nehemiah said, no, I'm not coming down. And so it's one thing to have receipts, it's another thing to create fake receipts. If you get to what I'm saying. And so these are people that will, oh, let me not know, let me not know. So they'll create what is called false evidence. There was a young couple some years ago who they were trying to be extorted. Okay, never, not trying to be extorted. They were being extorted. And the person who's trying to extort them did not actually have any evidence against them. But they tried, they reached out, and they ended up reaching out to the couple, ended up reaching out to them. They reached out to him saying, these are the receipts. These are the emails that that we have in regards to your situation. And if you don't give us X amount of money, we're going to expose it. Well, the receipts were fake and made up. The text messages were fake and made up. And they threatened to expose them if they didn't give them X amount of money. So they ended up going to the police. Thank goodness. We're living, and pick up my book called The Accuser. It is a free ebook. Now, if you want to purchase the paper copy, you have to ask for charge, but it's a free ebook. Go to my website at drsamariacopra.com. Or if you listen to this via YouTube, it'll be a link below. It's free, but it talks about Satan being the accuser. And so we're living in a day and time now that anyone can just get on the internet. Saints, I have an issue. And then now you have, now Reese Tisa's story was true. We just gonna go and we believe Reese Tisa, okay? But nowadays, people can bring accusations against anyone just because they're a public person. In there, and you know, so anyway, so the point I make, a pathological liar, do stuff like that. So again, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 7, starting the 16th verse, goes like this. In 16 through 19, it said, you can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. Maybe this is a New Living Translation. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. Now, integrity, let me say that integrity is not found when people are watching. True integrity, or the content of people's heart, is what happens when no one is around. Pick up that book when it's released, called The Absalom Spirit. So, and you also have to examine fruit, watch the fruit, what they have produced, and their actions, right? Can you pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is thrown down and chopped into the fire. Verse 20. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. So you can identify people by their actions. And again, sometimes their actions are not what's happening in front of you. How do they act when you're not around? People will always act a certain way when they think that you see them or they think you need them. Or I say they need you. Okay, they need you. They have a vested interest in getting in good graces with you. However, real is really revealed when they think no one is watching. Okay, sometimes we deal with the pathological lie. What happens is once they fall out of grace with you, because eventually the Holy Spirit will expose all these things, they launch what is called smear campaigns against you. When you no longer deal with them. And I did a whole teaching. It was really, really good on liars, gossipers, backbiters, and smear campaigns. Sometimes when people cannot get at you, pathological liars are vengeful and they will seek people around you to change how people are influenced by you or how people see you. So that's why you cannot, that's why I also I don't listen to rumors and things like that about other people. I discern from the Holy Spirit. Because people will launch smear campaigns. You don't want to deal with me no more? Fine. Now I'm going to scandalize your name and try to change your influence. And oftentimes they pretend that they are the victim in the situation and you are against them. This title is right, ain't it? This is tight, y'all. What is right? All right. When they are who they are in secret. Is very different from who they are in the open. Haman's plot. Who they are in secret is very different. Now, there's one thing to be able to have a space where, you know, because you don't get every and all of me. You know, there's a place where for me to be vulnerable. There's a place for me to cry. There's a place for me to just be in my feelings. That's one thing. That's just our humanity. Okay, that's not the same. You know, that's having a safe place and having a space where you can get in for God the Father so he can heal those wounds. That's different from you are pretending in front of people and a whole different person behind other people's back. That's a different story. And what I would tell you to deal with pathological, put number two is don't ignore patterns. Don't ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore red flags and don't ignore patterns because the Holy Spirit reveals us and says it will lead us into all truth, not some truth. How much truth? All truth. Okay. So if you truly want to be led by a Holy Spirit, you don't have to be deceived. We don't. So again, a few more tips on how, well, don't rush into any relationship. Don't be quick. Ecclesiastes says don't make any rash promises. Don't promise someone a world they are not capable of handling. You understand what I'm saying? Give it time. Give it time. I teach when I do consulting and organization leadership stuff, give a minimum if you're leading an organization and you're going to put leaders in position, do a 90-day observation period. Not a 90-day performance eval because people think they need to perform for 90 days, but a 90-day evaluation so we can determine where your best fit is. Okay, but don't rush to begin to give people rash promises. We're gonna be together forever. No, we're not gonna be together forever. I don't know you. You understand what I'm saying? So don't rush. Pathological liars oftentimes want to hurry up and rush into a relationship and they just all in and you just like, ooh, wait a minute. Don't go. Okay, ask as many questions, you know, trust but verify. I'm the type of person, I don't trust you right away. And if you give me a long-standing reason not to trust you. Okay, like you can forgive someone easy. You should never trust someone or give someone, you just never trust someone just like that. All right. And then, of course, use discernment. The Bible talks about we need to test every spirit by the spirit and use the D word discernment, darling, discernment. All right. All right, I'm Dr. Samaria M. Colbert. Make sure you pick up my books and all those things. Anything you want to do, request speaking engagement, just go to www.drsamariacolbert.com. Also, have some training courses for training Christian leaders. Go to www.trainingchristianleaders.com. And then, of course, darling, of course, if you want therapy and you're located in the state of North Carolina, or you can get yourself to the state of North Carolina, go to www.kingdomcreativecounseling.com. And we'll be glad to see you. And of course, if you're like located someplace else and it's not North Carolina, you can always go to www.psychologytoday.com and find a practitioner in your area. All right. And it's not sponsored by Psychology Today. I just referenced them as a resource. All right. God bless you. We'll be back in the day and the time of a banger, y'all. Let's get it popping. Bye.